You know, it's a good church when you get given a sweat rag. That's the first time I've been given a sweat rag. Normally I carry my own. But just before I walk down, it's two sweat rags. And a big one and a small one. Thanks, Pastor Peter and Rosemary, for letting me speak at your church. It's not a small thing. I actually didn't think anyone knew that I was in town. I sort of ducked in and ducked out. I didn't put anything on Facebook. I thought I'd just be quiet. Is that? Yes, I was wondering how it happened. So now I know. Yeah, I sort of ducked in and said no one was. My wife, Amanda, is up the back there if you'd like to stand, Amanda, my beautiful princess. If you actually knew our story after 33 years, I better get it right, 26, 27 years of marriage and 32, 33 years together, and Amanda still being with me after what I've done, it's a miracle in itself. I spent 26 years of my life in prisons and institutions selling drugs and guns and used to sell 2.5 kilos of meth and all this other stuff, and been actually institutionalized since the age of 9. I grew up 7 years in Longmore, 2 years in Riverbank, and I've also done time in all the prisons in West Australia and got nuked. You know what nuke means? Well, I reckon the ground moved. I reckon I stood there for like 3.5 hours, bawling my eyes out, and this big light in heaven just shone and said, "Be still and know that I'm God." And I just cried. I'd just been raided by the coppers and the helicopter and the TRG and shotguns and all this other stuff, and then God nuked me. Growing up as a kid, I actually never grew up from a faith background. I actually used to go to the Christian groups in jails to perv on the sheilas and get a fee feed. But none of the God stuff until God got me, and when God got me, God actually got me. All those songs you're singing are from Bible college days, from the Riverview Bible College days. I've done 3 years of Bible college. Even though I went to 26 different schools, I only made grade 6. Can't read, run and write. I made 3rd year Bible college. I actually got academic student of the year in 3rd year. There was 140 people who started, and I've never been given a trophy or medal in my whole life. And at the end of it, I got academic student of the year. It was a trophy that's about this big from here to about here, and this bloke with a hat on, and he's holding a Bible, and he's got his sash and robe, and I got that. It's a pretty good, eh? There was only 2 students left. One was from the Solomon Islands. You can only speak Pidgin English. And me. So, but I don't tell any people the last part of it, but I still got the trophy. Yes, I run Shalom House. We're known as Australia's largest and strictest rehab. We have, as Pastor Peter said, around 160 people. A lot of men, a lot of women. A women's program, we're actually about to open up another woman's house in 14th of May, which is going to hold up to 40 ladies. And also have Oasis, which is probably about 13 houses on there. We look after women and children and men and children. So we don't just take the male, we also take the female. We don't just take the female, we also take the children. And we don't just take mum and dad, we also take dad and son or dad and daughter. And so whoever comes, we don't actually have a waiting list. I never turn a person away who is serious about wanting to change their life. But I am pretty strict. I mean, if you come into my rehab, I don't get paid to run the joint. God actually nuked me and changed me and discipled me, and then I had to learn how to disciple. But if you come to Maria, you come there to change your life. I mean, who you are today and who you are next week, you should be different. And who you are next week and who you are, even me today, who I am today and who I was a week ago, I'm different. I've been a Christian 18 years, but then again, I've probably only been a Christian for the last 10 years. We're going to pray. If you bow your heads and pray, it'd be great. So, Dad, we come before you in the wonderful and the glorious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And look, God, I don't want to make today about me, about what we're doing, but we want today to be about you and about what you're doing. And Lord, I pray that you be elevated, that you be glorified, that you be lifted up. Holy Spirit, in the wonderful and the glorious name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you, Lord, we've got a lot of evangelists here. We've got the YWAM group here and other people, Lord, passionate about spreading the gospel of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And I pray that every cup would be filled, Lord God. Every eye, Lord God, would be open, Lord God. And Lord, anything hindering your word, Lord, moving against us, Lord God, would be lifted off, and every cup would be filled. It will be filled in Jesus' glorious name. And so the word of God for me when I got nuked, the word of God is not just a book. It's 66 books written by 40 different authors over 2,500 years. And it's not just a book. And I was surprised the other day about one of the fellows on my Facebook post. I put his testimony up, and a Christian who's been a Christian 20 years had read the post and said, "Wow, you read the Bible through a whole 1 year. You make me feel bad." She'd been a Christian 20, 30 years, but she's never read the whole of the Bible. And the Bible for us as Christians is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. The Bible is not just a book. It's 66 books written by 40 different authors over 2,500 years. It's the instruction manual for every Christian, every person that calls God, God, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is the instruction manual for us to live the life that God has called us to live. It empowers us, equips us, restores us, sustains us, strengthens us, leads us, guides us, convicts us. The Word of God is not just a book. When you become a Christian, something happens on the inside. It's a second spiritual birth. The first birth is through the woman's birth canal. The second birth is when you're awakened unto righteousness, when all of a sudden you get nuked, when all of a sudden God becomes real for you. Something happens that you just know that you know that He is real. And when all of a sudden you're born again and your eyes are opened and awakened unto righteousness, something happens on the inside where you know God is real, and He calls us to get baptized. And go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you until the end of the age. And when I got nuked, He told me, Pete, go get baptized. When I got baptized, my God. And I went from 0 to 100 in half a second flat. If you had an encounter like me, a bit like Saul on the road to Damascus, I seen that ground move. I stood there for 3.5 hours while I was going up and down, up and down, up and down. And I seen the light in heaven. And it was night, and I stayed there. When I came out there, I had to walk out on the ground and got out the car park, slept in my car. I was determined to go and have a look at that patch of ground because I wanted to find out who the heck it was that put them scaffolding planks there to get that light up that high. And I wanted to see the cracks in the ground because ground don't do what that did. And I hadn't had a shot for 4 days. For those of you who don't know what a shot is, it means gear. Even though I used to do 16 days no sleep, I hadn't had any gear. But I camped there and I got up in the morning and I hadn't moved. And when you have an encounter with God like that, you know that you know that you know that He's real. And He sort of gets your attention. And so I went from 0 to 100 in half a second flat. If the Bible says, go ye therefore and make disciples, I'm going to go ye therefore and make disciples. I went from 0 to 100 in half a second flat, and I become probably Australia's biggest God bother you can get. If you don't want to hear about God, get out of my way, because, hey, you're going to hear about God. When I started a text list 20 years ago, it's still going today. I'm sending about 2,000 scriptures a day. But I text my family, for God so loved the world, repent. Woe be unto you, wicked sinner, for the repentance. And I'm sending all these people these texts. And when people come and they come my way and they see me coming, and they say, like, right turn, Clive. They would literally run. So I done 3 years at Bible college at Riverview Bible College. And then I started at Acacia Prison as a prison chaplain, 5 years voluntary. I remember the first day I walked under the gates. I never thought I'd be back in a prison, especially not with keys. But I walked through the prison, and Freddie Williams, a fellow I grew up with, Freddie Punch, he's sitting there and he said, Little James, what are you doing here, brother? I said, I got the keys. So I started as a prison chaplain at Acacia Prison 3 days a week. And I was doing that for just on 5 years. And I started discipling people. Go therefore and make disciples. That's a mandate for the church. It's a mandate for every Christian. But again, how do we as Christians communicate what we know to be true without pushing religion down people's throats? Without being a God botherer? A lot of people don't want to know about God because God is part of the problem. All we do is push Jesus down people's throats. Or we tell them one thing and yet we display it by our lies another. We tell them all about God, how He's good and loving God, and yet behind the scenes we don't pay our taxes, we lie, we steal, we cheat, we pervert women, lust with their eyes, we do all that sort of stuff. I mean, is that making the gospel of Jesus Christ attractive to the unbeliever? I can't hear. By the way, if it was our church, what we normally do is the front row. My men know they've got to sit in the front row, but when we do speaking engagements, we put the front row out, and when all of you are sat, we just grab the front row and move it and take it aside. So the second row becomes the front row. So I spent 5 years at Acacia, and literally the chapel used to get chockers. For a lot of you, I get a lot of street slang because I grew up on the streets living under squats and bridges and jails and stuff. And so I got like chockers, ducks, nuts, bees, knees, cooter, filthy, off the charts. Filthy means really, really good, not dirty. Ducks, nuts means like, you can put filthy up there like platinum, and ducks, nuts, they're like gold. Got it? You get it? Get it? Got it? Good. So I've got a lot of street slang. So I've learned, actually, and I'll tell you about it in a sec, that to become all things to all men, that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. So 5 years as a God bother at Acacia Prison, I used to see a lot of people coming to know Jesus. I used to sit there in a group and we'd pray, and we had one group session, 14 people filled with the Holy Spirit. God's moving. But the sad thing about over that 5 years, I'd see him get out, and then I'd see him come back in. And I'd see him get out, and I'd see him come back in. And it's like they always just left God at the gate. And when you do a 3-year lagging, 2-year lagging, lagging means prison term. When you do a 1 or 2 year or 3-year lagging or a prison term, you say all the right stuff when you're in jail, but when you get out of jail, you just go like a dog to the vomit and a pig to the mud. You want to go back and have a shot. And you think, oh, well, I'll just have one shot to celebrate the fact that I've just done 3, 6, 12, 9 months. Or I'll go have a beer. I can just have one beer. One beer's okay. And you sell this self, this lie, we're in jail. When you get out, you leave God at the gate and you go to have the beer. As soon as you stick that beer in your arm, it's like getting on a train. You shouldn't even go onto the platform. But you get on the train, you have that beer, you shoot that shot, or you smoke that cone. And the second you do, you get on a train. And the train, it's nice and good. You start off with one beer a day. And you just say, I'll just have one a day, one a day. But the train, it starts picking up speed. It starts getting faster and faster and faster. And you go from one a day to two a day to four a day to six a day. Oh, but I don't drink until after 5 o'clock. And then you get to the point where you've got to carry out your six pack out of the bin, but you don't want to hear the tingle of the bin as you put the six pack in the bin. But you get on the train and the train starts picking up speed. It just gets faster and faster and faster. You don't know how to get off the train. You want to get off the train, but you've started a pattern of addiction back in your life. Whether it be alcohol, whether it be cigarettes, whether it be speed, whether it be pot, regardless of what it is, you don't want to be on that train. But that train, she starts picking up speed, it gets faster and faster and faster. God is not part of the equation. One day you look up and everybody's jumped off the train. That train had been going 100 miles an hour, no doors, no stops, no conductors. You look up and everyone's jumped off. And the only way you get off the train, hits a brick wall, ends up in a big finale. And you're laying back in Canningvale, or they call it Hackie Dados. And you're thanking God that you're off that train. You start praying again. Well, that was a hell of a ride. But it always ends in a big finale. And then you sing this song. Around, around the garden like a teddy bear. One step or two step, particularly under there. Round two, fight. And then they come to Bible studies. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And you do your 1 year, and you do your 2 years, and you do your 6 months, and you do your 3 years, and you get out. I'm just going to celebrate the fact that I just done a lagging. And the cycle continued. I had 5 years of watching that at Acacia Prison, 5 years. And I used to push how can you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? How can you be filled with the Holy Spirit? And how can you just leave God at the gate, walk out, and go and sleep with a prostitute? How can you do that to God, man? I was so on fire for God, so much of a God botherer. I used to put religion, I used to condemn people. What are you doing? It's not okay. You go sleep with a prostitute and I just see Jesus crying. The word of God is in you. He's awakened you unto righteousness. How can you? And then they come back in and I had 5 years of being a Pharisee and a Sadducee. You know what I mean? I was a God botherer. And then until 2010, I stuffed up myself. I got out of the prison, the doors had shut at the prison, and God was taking me in the new shoes, and I didn't know it was Shalom. But I got up one day, and I was just lost. The door at the prison had shut. I'm full on for God. Come on, God, you're too slow. Who reckons God's too slow? I wouldn't say that. Anyway, I wouldn't respond to a question like that. I'd just shut up and say nothing. Trust me. Analogy that fellow was doing, the tithing, wherever you are. Now, but show the clay, say to the potter, Lord, Lord, why do you make me this way? No, Lord, mold me, bend me, break me, shape me, whatever I have to go through, Lord, to be all you want me to be. Have your way in me, even if I have to go through the flames of hell and back. Don't pray that prayer. Don't pray that prayer. That was my prayer every day, full on Christian. Even if I have to go through the flames of hell and back, have your way in me. Rejoice, I say, rejoice, rejoice in the times of trials and tribulations, because the testing, the putting into practice your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work that you be complete, whole, full, lacking in nothing. Oh, shall the clay say to them, no, Lord, you just mold me, bend me, break me, shape me. Don't pray that prayer. 2010, I stuffed up. God was taking too long. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't realize that he was transitioning me from the prisons to the streets. I spent 2 years wandering around all the streets in Perth, just ministering to homeless people, taking people from one place to a rehab to another, and until 2012 I started Shalom. But when I stepped out in 2010, I just heard his voice. See, a lot of the voices that you get in your brain, they're not your voices, they're introduced voices. And the devil uses your greatest weakness as his greatest strength. My greatest fear is that God would give up on me. I remember the 18th of May 1986, I'd watched that Cross the Switchblade, David Wilkinson. I was sitting in my cell, and I'd been to the pervert on the Sheila's night with the Christian group come in, watched the video, and the video actually really got me. And I went back to my slot, men's prison cell, and I got on my knees and said, God, if you're real, you can change that dude's life. You can change mine. And it's Nicky Cruz, it was. And I remember it myself, it was the first time as a 17-year-old kid in Riverbank that I felt God was real. But I actually left God at the gate when I went out in a Challenge for Youth camp and stopped reading my Bible. And it wasn't long before my heart became hard and I went back into the world. And 20 years later, when I got nuked in the Bible college in jail. So these are, we're just jumping backwards and forwards. And it wasn't until 20 years later until I clicked it. But I got out of the Acacia prison. I'm waiting for God, he's taking too long. And I'm sitting at home one day and I heard this voice, God's given up on you. And I'm thinking, and I didn't even have my guard down. You know, Romans 12:2 says, be ye transformed and conformed by the complete entire renewal of your mind. That we're actually supposed to cast down every thought, every imagination, every bit of our own reasoning that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. There's a good voice and there's a bad voice. There's a light, there's a dark, there's a good, there's a bad, there's a God, there's a devil. There's one on either side of you. One wants to give you life, take the shopping trolley back. The other one says, hey, no, leave it there. But I'm sitting at home and I heard this voice, God's given up on you. And you've lost your calling. And I remember thinking, yeah, that's right. But it didn't. It just came out of nowhere. I'm telling you, it was like Nebuchadnezzar when he was on the palace and his thought went into his head and he went out for 3 years. And he just ate cud and he ate grass and he ate whatever and he come back 3 years later and he was restored. I got a thought that went into my head and I grabbed the keys off my car. I went out and scored an eight ball. If you don't want eight ball, it's like drugs, methamphetamine. And I scored an eight ball off this chick and I slept with the chick that I got the eight ball from. And 2 days later, I come home. And I've been married for, well, that time would have been 16, 17 years. Been my wife, it would have been over 20 years. How can I, as a mature age Christian, I mean, I've been a Christian 10 years. I was on fire for God. And here I am, so I slept with a prostitute, used drugs, come home 3 days later, and it was like I went to hell. I remember laying down in bed, and I said, oh, what have you done? And I'm laying in bed, and it felt, honestly, I believe that I went to hell. I spent 3-4 days laying on my bed, and it was like every demon in hell had come in on me. I laid on my bed, and I was thinking about killing myself. And I remember I used to pray that prayer, Lord, whatever I have to go through, but where you want me to be, have your way in me. Even if I have to go through hell and back. And I believe that I went through hell. Whatever that was, that 3 days, I didn't eat, I didn't drink, I couldn't go to the toilet. But it's taken 10 years of me going through the fire. I've been through the fire for 10 years. And even now, I'm only just coming out the other side of it. The fire is petrifying. I wouldn't want any of you to experience not even 5% of what I've been through. Not even 1%. The complete, total abstinence of the presence of God. Feeling like you've been cast off and all your flesh and all your spirit is on fire. And every day you just wake up on your knees, bawling your eyes out. God, where am I? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? God, what have I done? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. 10 years of getting up and having to pray for people when you want to pray for people. You know, having to go to church when you don't want to go to church. 10 solid years of trials and tribulations. The fire. There's a message in the fire, people. The fire is such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. It burns religion out of you. You know what I mean? It burns you out of you. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you speak. It changes what you value in life. It changes you as a person. There's a message in the fire, and people need to hear that message. That Jesus Christ is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And that there is no way back to the Father except through him. If you are a Christian person, God has called you in a relationship with him. A relationship. He doesn't want you to go out and proselytize and put condemnation on people's heads. He wants you to love people, not to judge people. I have no right judging people. All I did was judge and condemn, judge and condemn. And here I am, find myself that I've done what they did. And all of a sudden I put my tongue between my legs. And he gave me a scripture, John 8, 31, 32. It says, be still and know that I'm God. Cease striving, be still and know that I'm God. Amplified translation says, cease striving, be still, and know that I am God. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain, he built it. He showed me over the last 10 years, from 2003 to 2010, that it was me striving, me getting ahead of God, me, my plans, how I can build God's church, how I can disciple people my way. And when I had that experience, it was right, Peter, we're going to do it my way, not your way. And I learned to come behind God, not get ahead of God. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. It says, seek first the kingdom of God above all else. As we put God first, he puts us first. Everything that matters to us matters to him. He's before it happens, when it happens, after it happens. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything we need. He knows the stupid choices you're going to make, even before you make them. Nothing is a surprise to God. God's called me a buffet. He is. He's a buffet. Because you think you're the first. He's got a temper and he's got a sense of humor. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. As we put God first, he puts his first. John 8, 31, 32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, the life. There is no way back to the Father except through me. The word of God is not just a book. It's living and active. It's sharper than the double-edged sword, that it penetrates the heart, the mind, the soul, the spirit, that it discerns the innermost thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of God is not just a book. It says, as we behold him, as we gaze upon his glory, as we spend time in his presence, who he is starts becoming who we are. The more we get into the word of God, the more we get on our knees, the more we start praising God. Every time we do that, we're beholding God. Every time we come into the presence of the living God, we never come out the same. It's like he sticks his screwdriver down and he adjusts it and adjusts it and adjusts it and adjusts it. We've got to die that he would live. There's a message in the fire that I'm telling you, God's out to kill you. He's out to kill your flesh, your desires, your thinking. Yeah, man, you got to die to live. You don't want to go through what I went through. It's been really hard. It's been really hard for my wife. And man, I want to say I'm really sorry for what you've been going through 10 years. But as I've surrendered to God, and I believe that I surrendered, I took one day at a time. Man, I've seen God do stuff over the last 10 years. It's mind-blowingly surreal. All he wants from every one of you who call yourself a Christian, it's a non-negotiable. Big capital letters, non-negotiable. You must read the Word of God on a daily basis. You feed your face, you get your chili mussels and your steak and your fish and you got to feed your spirit. It's non-negotiable. Seek first. Start your day with God, any day with God. Start your day on your knees, any day on your knees. Start your day with God. Proverbs 16:3 says, cast your cares upon the Lord. He will sustain you. Philippians, it says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds for those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who have been called according to his purpose, for those he predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son. For those he predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son. How on earth can he predestine you, or how on earth can he conform you into the image of his Son if you don't do the non-negotiable and get in the Word? As you get in the Word of God empowers you and it strengthens you. It convicts you, it leads you, it guides you. It prepares you for every operation and every trial, every tribulation that has to come your way as you live the life that God has called you to live. And if you don't read the Word of God, God can't put you through those trials and tribulations because you're not blooming equipped. You're just sitting there and you're stunting and you're like water that mozzies come and pee in, and they're just growing all these little mosquitoes, and it's just like, yeah, someone grabbed the Irrigard. We want to have a good weekend. It's a non-negotiable. If you are a Christian, I'm telling you, it is a non-negotiable, especially in today's time. You need to get in the Word of God. You start your day with God. You end your day with God. A daily bread is a good reading plan. But as you get into God's Word, God, the Spirit of God wanders to and fro across the face of the earth looking for somebody who's going to actually stay plugged in. These fans wouldn't spin if it didn't plug them in. The lights wouldn't turn on if it didn't plug them in. You Christians, plug in. Plug in. And when you're plugged in, it goes, oh, I got one. The Holy Spirit, and it's all raining down presence across the earth. I got one, and it's like one of them hoses. And he turns the hose, and all the presence starts, and then he just, oh, I got a good one here. And he takes the hose off, and he just pours out presence because I've got someone who's going to listen. I've seen that spiritually laying there in bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, And I just see it, and it's like it's Holy Spirit looking for someone who's going to listen. And when he finds that person, he starts turning the nozzle. And yeah, that person's really listening and turns the nozzle on. And it's, can't, then he just stuff it. He, I'll take the end off. And oh, mate, I'm right there going, oh, nothing like the presence of God, I tell you. But you're not going to get it if you don't do it. It's a non-negotiable. You know, man, God is going right now to the highways and the byways. He's calling the weak, the null and despised things of this world to nullify that which is. You know, man, God is really, really moving. Everyone in my house, probably bar one or two, are Christians. They all come to know the Lord within the first week. That's 160 people. All we do is disciple. It's called Shalom Discipleship House. We just disciple people to disciple people. Shalom doesn't run because of me, it runs despite of me. I watched over the last 10 years when God started in July in 2012, and to now 160 people, we're nearly 100% debt free. We don't apply for grants or government funding. We're not sponsored by any particular person. Everybody leaves our facility 100% debt free. All the families are completely restored. They all leave owning a car or a driver's license. All the financial history's gone. Working full-time with an employer on the same page as the rehab. They paid for their entirety of their own rehabilitation, $300 a week. On the street, our staff wages last year, we got 70 staff. It was over nearly $3 million. But yet we don't apply for grants, we don't apply for nothing. We've got nearly 65, 70 vehicles. We own them all. We don't owe anybody anything. But God hasn't done it because of me. He's done it in spite of me. You just get up and take one day at a time, one day at a time, one day at a time. And you just take one day at a time. And a man makes his plans, but it's the Lord God who directs his steps. One day at a time. Can you change tomorrow? Can anyone change tomorrow? We're not there yet. Can you change yesterday? A lot of us focus on tomorrow. If we bring tomorrow into today, we miss today. If we bring yesterday into today, we miss today. You can change today. You can start your day with Jesus. You can roll out of bed and get on your knees. And you can say, Lord, Lord, Dad, Dad. As I read your word, I pray that you'd open my heart, my mind, my spirit to what you're saying today. That you'd empower me and strengthen me to live the life you've called me to live. Show me in your word, Dad. Help me to understand you and get closer to you. Change the way I think, the way I speak. And you pray before you, and you read your Bible. And when you finish your Bible, you know what you got on your plate today. Dad, I pray that as I go about my day today, that you go ahead of me. That you lead me and guide me. And whatever you want done today, I'll just be the best me I can be. And you just pray into what you've got on your day. And at the end of the day, you might stuff up and you might think things, thoughts that you don't want to think. And you might speak words that you don't want to speak. And you might have got frustrated, angry. And at the end of the day, you just ask God for forgiveness. And then you put your head on the pillow. And what you go to bed with is what you wake up with. And you wake up the next day. And the word of God says the mercy of God shines new every day. That he removes our sins as far as the east is to the west. And he remembers it no more. Groundhog Day. Hey, let's go again. Round two. Fight. And who you are today and who you are in 3 months, if you commit, if you as a church really committed to getting into the Word of God, you would see God move through you like no other. Rise up, church. What's happening, man? Rise up. I don't have to prove God. Go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And behold, I am with you until the end of the age. My words can't get into your heart, but his words can. I just got to get up and stay plugged in. And I just be excited about what he does every day, not because of me, but in spite of me. Are you a vessel prepared for the master's use? Are you a vessel prepared? Do you start your day with God? Do you end your day with God? Are you a Pharisee or a Sadducee? Are you paying your taxes? Are you doing your tithes? Are you tithing in your church that this place can be a storehouse for people that don't know Jesus? Or for a storehouse for people who are struggling? Are you lying? Are you gossiping? Are you bringing judgment upon somebody else? Are you full of anger and bitterness and resentment? I mean, have you got a problem or offense with somebody else, unforgiveness towards somebody else, and you sit there and tell everybody else, and all you're doing is sowing division? That's not okay. That's not okay. Get out of here. That's yuck. You're working against us, man. Get in the Word of God. The Word of God. Unless you become like a child, you're not into the kingdom of heaven. I was reading a devo the other day, and it talked about the Apostle Paul, and he was writing to this mob, and he says, listen, I can't give you a solid meat. I'm still giving you milk. Milk is elementary basics of the Christian faith. Gossip. It's not okay to talk behind somebody else's back. If you're talking behind somebody else's back, you're sowing seeds. And when that person goes to that you later on, who you're talking about, they look at you and they've got your words in them. Don't gossip. If you can't say it to a person's face, don't say it at all. It's not okay to gossip. it's not okay to bring judgment on a person. I mean, it's not okay to say division. It's just not okay. The elementary basics of the Christian faith: start your day with God, end your day with God. God wants to take you through all these operations to conform you into the image of His Son. Go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and behold, I'm with you to the end of the age. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. I mean, 10 years, last 10 years, this is probably the first holiday my wife and myself have had. We've been full-time volunteers since July 2010. He told us to step out of the boat. Man, we have lacked nothing as a husband and wife in 10 years. Over and above, pressed down and shaken up. We're blessed to be a blessing. He's just off the charts, uncomprehendingly freaking awesome. He is. How can you find a word? What can you say that would glorify Him, that would magnify Him? You can't. He's off the charts. He is. I am. Oh. Oh, Lord, what an awesome wonder, consider all the works Thy hand has made. We are nothing. We are nothing without Him. Eternity is forever and ever and ever and ever. And if there's a wall at the end of eternity, what's on the other side of the wall? Man, I went to hell. I went to that fire. You don't want to go to the fire. But there's a message in the fire. And if you've got to go to the fire, if you can get the message, somebody's got to get the message. Now, Lord, I want to thank you, Dad, that I went into the fire and got the message. That Jesus Christ, He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And without God, we're nothing. We're nothing. When our spirits leave our body and it returns to Him who gave it, the imperfect will be made perfect, and every tear will be wiped away, and every question will be answered. Our God is above all. He is beyond all. He is through all. He is in all. He is the great I am. And He loves us, and He has begun a good work in us, and He will carry that work on until the day of Jesus Christ. But you must please plug in. Just like your body needs food, your spirit needs food. And if you've got to go through all these operations, and you have to go through these operations, out of the heart flow the issues of life, out of the heart flow the consequences of life. So a man or a woman or a child thinks in their heart, so are they. But the Bible says that the heart is deceitful beyond all measure. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. I don't want a deceitful heart. I was full of unforgiveness and bitterness and condemnation and resentment. I'm useless. I'm a weed. I'm no good. I'm not good enough. If a person believes a lie as a truth, that lie becomes their truth. Stop elevating what you think or what you see or what you believe. Get the Word of God. Elevate the Word of God above what you see or what you think or what you believe. The Word of God is truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. You are not a weed. You are good enough. You can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives you strength. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Plug in. If the Word of God says it, you need to believe it, and that settles it. Don't walk by what you see or what you think or what you feel. Plug in. Go you therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Just like your body needs food, your spirit needs food. Stay plugged in, and the Word of God will change the way you think, change the way you speak, change the way you are to your wife, change the way you are to your children, change the way you are at work in the community. The Word of God will empower you, strengthen you, equip you, restore you, to help you to live the life God has called you to live. You shouldn't be living life in your own strength. If you're plugged in, if all of you as a church plugged in every day and got in there and started sharing what God is doing, you would be a powerhouse in Broome. God would be moving through this place. As we behold Him, as He raised our arms to heaven, as we gaze upon His glory, we are being transformed and changed from glory to glory to glory to glory, and glory in its fullness is heaven. Grade 1 to grade 2 to grade 3 to grade 4. Rejoice in the times of trials and tribulations, because the testing, the putting into practice what you've just been through, develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work, that you be complete, whole, full, lacking in nothing, that you be a mature Christian, one that can eat solid meat, not milk. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. I'm not a religious fella. I'm not a God botherer. I was a God botherer. But I really don't care what people, I don't even care what you mob think of me. Most people think of my, serious, I don't care what anyone thinks of me. I say it wherever I go. You mean, none of you are my judge. I mean, I really couldn't do fly, floppers, flippers, floppers, flappers. But I've learned, hey, I learned. When I'm amongst edumacated, I can talk edumacated. I can use dictation and slow down and get rid of all the slang. And I can actually speak really, you know, and slow and dictation, they call it. Is it dictation? Anna could have, true, lovely. Hey, yeah, you give it, Anna. Kudos, boss. I've become all things to all men that all come to the knowledge of the truth. When in Rome, I'll be like the Romans. I mean, I just like being me, and if you don't like me, it's just too bad. You're not my judge, is. Let's get it out. So I become all things to all men that all come to the knowledge of the truth. And it closes this. It's like I spent 3 years at Riverview Bible College trying to become a Christian, trying to become a geek like you mob. Yeah, you're a bunch of geeks, mate. You project an image that I perceive. Right? Okay, well, I've got to be like to be a Christian. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, do some of the motions and stuff. Oh, my God. Remember 3 years of walking up that church thinking, man, God, I can't be like that. I spent 3 years of Bible college sat in the back of the class. And one day, 3 years down the tree, he said, I didn't ask you to be them, I asked you to be you. And I was like, wow. So now I just shorts and singlet. This is good, I actually fit in up here in Perth. I'm just shorts and singlet if you don't like it. Too bad, I'm the pastor. Yeah. But it's okay to be you. God has created you. And here you are, every one of you here. And my mate there with a big beard, hat, the redhead fella, my mate the ringer, he's like, God has created you, Mr. Griffiths, to be you. I mean, every one of you are beautiful, you're special. Every one of us, we're all unique. God loves us who we are. He loves us. He loves your faults. He loves your flaws. He loves your bad temper. He loves everything about you. And he looks at you and laughs. And when you come to him, just come like a child. You may be 20, you may be 30, you may be 50. He doesn't care. He wants your bad habits. He wants your smoking. He wants your drinking. And he'll change you. Man doesn't have to change. I'm not your potter. My job is just to preach the word. And just read the word of God and let the Spirit of God do what he does in you. But you don't want to be a Sunday Christian. I want to be an everyday Christian. God loves every one of you in this room. He loves you. You're unique. You're beautiful. You're special. And he wants to work through every one of you in this room. He wants to touch your wife. He wants to touch your grandparents. He wants to touch your children. Your people in your workplace. But he just wants you to be you. To go about your day. To seek first the kingdom of God. And if you bring somebody across your path, disciple them. And how you disciple them is just live the life that he has called you to live. Take one day at a time and just let him do what he does. It's his problem. Other people are his problem, not your problem. If you stay plugged in and you read your Bible, serious, this is like rocket science. Took me like 10 years to get it, or 15 years to get it. 15 years to get it. Oh my God, I just got it. Not 15 years. But if you just stay plugged in, and you read your Bible when you wake, and you read your Bible when you go to bed, and you just pray about your day, and you just get up, and every day you just see what he does. You see how he empowers you, equips you, restores you, strengthens you. And then you look at your own life, and you look back 2 weeks ago, oh, I've changed. Hey, woman, have I changed? I call my wife woman. You're not allowed to call my wife woman. Male woman. But I'm changed. And isn't he awesome? I mean, he's such a beautiful, beautiful God. We don't have to. We don't have to. I mean, we don't have to. We just got to get up and be. We just get up and be. Just get up and be and be faithful with God, with what God. If God has called you to be a mum, be the best mum you can be. If God's called you to be the best pastor you can be. If God's called you just to go to work, just go to work. But start your day with God. Don't leave God at home. I mean, it's a non-negotiable every day. When you don't want to read your Bible, read your Bible. When you don't want to pray, you pray. When you don't want to go to church, you've got to go to church. Serious. And who you are today and who you are in a month, my God. He's just so gorgeous, isn't he? He's so beautiful and so wonderful. You sit there and you just try to find the words. You reflect on the time that he touched your heart. And the first time that your eyes were open to who he is, when you're at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom, and you called out, hey God, if you're real. You know what I mean? And I just look back and I look at my wife. Man, I was a skanked out drug dealer doing 2.5 kilos of meth a day. 40 grand a day of meth, drugs, guns, nine mils, explosives. My kids, my wife was sleeping till 11 o'clock, not getting my kids to school. Because I used to feed her full of drugs. I was out sleeping with prostitutes for 16 days, going home. My kids, they head down the same life. And man, my kids are changed. My kids are geeks. Geeks, by the way, are normal people. I'm a geek. Geeks are normal. You project an image that I perceive that you've got it together. But yeah, at home, you're probably just as screwed up as the rest of us. But geek is a normal person, a productive member of society. I think of what God has done in me. I think of what God has done in my children. My children are godly men, 25 and 22. Man, my daughter, 7, 8, nearly 8 grandchildren. I look at all the people in Shalom House, my staff. Man, I love my staff. I really love my staff. I'm honoured and privileged. All the volunteers, even the residents and the ladies in my program. I'm really protective of my residents and ladies. To them, I'm really harsh, but I love them. I care about them. Amen. God's told me to focus on what you can change, not what you can't. The second they leave your gate, cut them off. If they don't finish what they started, you've got to cut them off. And it's hurt. It actually hurts. When they leave, because you got them up to grade 7 or grade 8, and then they leave. And it's like, man. But you've got to cut them off and leave them in the hands of God and focus on what you can change, not what you can't change. Again, here's the potter. Shall the clay say to the potter, Lord, Lord, why do you make me this way? Now, Lord, mould us, bend us, break us, shape us. And I close with this, please, just focus on God. How beautiful and wonderful and glorious and magnificent he is. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind could ever conceive what God's got prepared for those who love him, for those who have been called according to his purpose. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl of great price that when a man found that pearl, he went and hid the pearl and he laid down his whole life. Everything he owns, all his desires, all his wants, all his needs, he laid it all down for that pearl. That pearl is Jesus. How beautiful is he? People need to know what we know, people. They need to know what we know. God is rising up an army of faceless soldiers. And you've got to fix your eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of your faith. Now, you can either get in that army there and just stay straight ahead, or you can get on the sidelines and watch the army bring home the spoils. My challenge to you is a non-negotiable to read the Word of God. Not just read it, obey it. No temptation to seize you or come upon you except that which is common to man, that God would never ask you to do more than you can handle. And he always equips you to do everything he asks. The Word of God is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. How do you stop? Man, if I could just bombard you with so much scripture. Where's your Bible? It should be in your head. It should be in your heart. The Word of God is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. The Word of God, when you speak it, you can feel it in the atmosphere. You can feel him. It's alive. Bow your heads, please. So, Dad, we come before you, Dad. And I want to thank you for the privilege, Lord, to hold this mic. And, Lord, if everyone offers you a mic, Lord God, you can't turn it down because I don't want to get in trouble. But I want to thank you for Peter and Pastor Peter and Pastor Rosemary for the privilege, Lord, to stand in front of their sheep, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, that everyone here not heard one single word that I say, that everything I said, Lord, would fall to the ground. But I pray with all my heart, Lord, that I hear your voice in mine. Lord God, that through all the scripture that I've spoken this morning, Lord, that everyone will be filled, convicted, empowered, strengthened in the way that you want. Whatever message that you wanted to proclaim this morning, I pray, Lord, that it be fulfilled in its entirety. And Lord, I personally, in front of everybody here, and I know I speak on behalf of other people here. We come before you, Lord, and you can make this your prayer if you want to, people. But we come before you this morning, Lord, we just want to say we're sorry. And we want to say sorry, Lord God, for the amount of times where we just don't read the Word of God, where we put work and meetings before you, Dad. We want to say sorry, Lord God, for the times that we disobey you. We want to say sorry for the times we let you down, for the times we gossip. We just want to say sorry in general, Lord, for words we speak, thoughts we think. Lord, help us. I pray for this church. Help this church. Help this church be a passionate church. That passionate church, one that is on fire for you, Dad. Holy Spirit, I ask, I just pray for Peter Roseby, Dad. I pray, Dad, Holy Spirit, just a passionate church. Over all this, all the residents, all the sheep in here, Dad, all the congregation call this place a home, a passionate church. Lord, that they're awake, Lord God, and they start the day with God, that end the day with God. Lord, that be listening to your voice. You are the great shepherd of the sheep. Your sheep know you. They hear your voice. The wisdom of God and the counsel of God is the heart of a man. And Lord God, a person of understanding. I just pray, Lord, tune them into your voice. Empower them, strengthen them. Holy Spirit, even now, just move over the congregation, Dad. Start a fire, Dad, to seek your face. Just to seek your face. And that everyone's okay as they are, Dad, but they just seek your face. And as they seek your face, you do what you do best. We want to thank you, Lord God, for the air we breathe. We want to thank you for the clothes we wear. We want to thank you for each day that you give us as a gift. I want to thank you, Dad, for the good and the bad. I want to thank you that everything we go through, Lord God, works together for good for all of us. I thank you, Lord, for the princesses in here, all the ladies. I thank you, Lord, for all the men. We just thank you, Lord, for this church. In Jesus' precious name, amen.